So she said, because I wanted to play the new piano, that's why. The new one. I'm not going to bypass the new one for the old one. I want the new one. So you got one fan right there. I tell you, she likes that piano. And you know, I would say this about Cheryl, because she doesn't, a lot of people doesn't know this, but it's just a little, you know, all there's four children in her family. And when she was growing up, she was about 7 or 8 years old, her mother started her on piano lessons. All four children plays the piano today. All four of those children in that family know how to play the piano. And she worked at common labor jobs most of her adult life to put those kids through piano lessons. Her older sister is married a missionary. Of course, none of that could be foreseen when they were children. But her older sister married a missionary. And then that he came home from the field, and he's pastoring a church in Alabama. So who's the pianist but her sister's her older sister's the piano. The other two are not in the ministry, but they do play the piano. And so I thought that I would say that about her and her mother. Well, Cheryl, why don't you come on up and sing for us, play for us one number. And we'll leave all the stuff out there this week as we always do. You can check that out during the week. Some of you bought some stuff. We appreciate that. All the money we make on this table over here goes to help us buy a new truck. So we're saving for that. And we're working towards that goal. So that helps us along there. So Cheryl, you sing for us, if you will. Well, the thought comes to me, must we always speak on the Christmas story at Christmas? And must we always speak of the resurrection at Easter? And must we always speak about Mother's Day at Mother's Day? Well, certainly it's appropriate to do that, but if the Word of God is the Word of God, and it certainly is, it's good any time of the year, isn't it? Luke chapter 2 is just as real in September as it is in November. And so turn in your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 8. The Bible says, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And so the subject this afternoon is little things at Christmas. And have you ever noticed about the Christmas story that there's nothing big about it? There are not big people involved in it. There are not big places, and everything's small. Everything in the Christmas story is small. And God has put together all these small things to make the biggest story ever told to man. Isn't that something? Have you ever looked at it like that? Michelangelo, the great artist, was painting a painting one time, and a fellow walked by and stopped for a while, and he just watched Michelangelo paint. And Michelangelo was painting a man's thumb, and he went on and on painting this thumb. And after a while, the passerby spoke up and he said to Michelangelo, "Why do you trifle with such things?" Michelangelo said, "Because trifles make perfection, and perfection is no trifle." And so it's the small things all put together that made the Michelangelo painting such a tremendous work of art. In the same way with the Christmas story, there's nothing big or nothing God calls bigness about the Christmas story. And all told, it all brings together, all being all brought together, it makes the biggest story that's ever been told to man, the coming of Jesus Christ. Notice first of all that God uses little people. There were many powerful and wealthy men in Palestine at this time. There were scholars at the great universities. Yet it was not to them that the angels appeared. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace, goodwill toward men. The greatest news ever heard was heard by simple shepherds, little people, great men, powerful people, were passed by, and God spoke to the little people, and they are the ones who heard the story. The eyes of great and noble and wealthy people were not blinded by the stars and by the light from heaven, but the eyes of shepherds were. One of the elite was not chosen to carry the babe in her womb. It was not a fashionable, wealthy, or learned lady that was chosen to carry the Christ child in the womb. Rather, it was given to Mary. And a humble carpenter was to head the home in which Jesus was to be reared. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, 1 Corinthians 1:27 says. One of the most encouraging things in the Bible is that God uses little people to do big tasks. Who killed Goliath? It was little David. And from the backside of the desert. Who defeated the Midianites using 300 men? Was it a man from the university? Was it a graduate of West Point? A great general? No. It was Gideon. And he was called while hiding behind a wine press. Some soldier was he who led the Israelites out of bondage and toward the promised land across the Red Sea and upon dry land. Who went up to Sinai and received instructions for the tabernacle and the laws of God. He was a boy who was placed in the ark and placed in the Nile River, and who spent 40 years in Egypt and 40 years in the desert. He was a man called Moses, and Moses, even by historical or unsaved historians, rather, even by secular historians, they say that Moses and Paul were the two greatest men who ever lived in the world. Moses complained to God that he was not of much eloquent speech. Maybe you meant to call someone else to this job. I'm certainly not fit for this. I don't have any natural abilities for this. And how he contended with God about that fact, and yet God used him in such a mighty and powerful way. And whenever God chose to shake a nation, he chose a drunken baseball player by the name of Billy Sunday. God uses ordinary people to do great things. Who gave food to feed 5,000? Was it a restaurant owner? Was it someone who catered into the feeding of these people? No. It was a little boy with a lunch basket. He gave it to Jesus. Who rimmed the Mediterranean with the gospel? And who took the gospel from Jerusalem and all around Asia and then to Europe and turned the world upside down for God? Was it a man of wealth and power and fame and fortune? Someone in the newspapers all the time? No. He was a little Jew with a small physique and bad eyesight. And God uses little people to do great things. So it was in the Christmas story. Mary, Simon, Anna, the shepherds, Zacharias, the little people. Now here's your chance, friend. You say, well, can God use me? Well, God can use anyone. I remember when I was just saved at age 23, a few weeks after that, God called me to preach, and I did not want to be a preacher. Did not feel like that was something I could do. And so I went to my pastor. I had just been saved, and God called me, and was in the process of calling me. And I went to my pastor, and the pastor, I told the pastor that I just did not think that God could use a person like me to be a preacher. And you know what he said? He said, God uses all kinds. Well, a few days would pass. I'd go back and I'd tell the pastor the same thing. I would go through my spiel, and then he would listen. And you know what he said? God uses all kinds. A few more days would pass. I'd go back to the pastor. I'd make all kinds of excuses why I should not be a pastor, and why I did not have any of the abilities to be a pastor. And in fact, I was a very timid person, very quiet person. I did not like to talk very much, and I did not have any of the gifts that I felt like a pastor should have in dealing with people. And he would say the same thing. God uses all kinds. God uses all kinds of people for all kinds of ministries. That's the bottom line. God uses all kinds of people for all kinds of ministries, and every man is different. There are no two men that are the same. Every man is different. Has a different personality, different abilities, different gifts, different backgrounds. All of that is different, and God has called that particular man for a particular ministry or a special ministry. Every man has a special ministry that God calls them to. And so, you say, I'm the one in my family that my family would say would be the last one to succeed. How could God use me? Well, I'll tell you what, that's what they said about David. Do you know his family? To his family, he was a black sheep. He was somewhat of an outcast to his family. They thought he would never amount to anything. This kid just didn't have any abilities, whatever that they thought of. They said to him, you go out and tend sheep. We're going to go off and we're going to fight the Philistines. So his older brothers and the rest of his family, they go out, they fight the Philistines. David's out tending sheep. But you see, God saw something in David others did not see. He reaches down and touches that shepherd boy and says, son, go pick up 5 smooth stones out of a brook. And David did as God said. And he fell a great giant, almost 10-foot tall. One of the greatest military victories in all the world's history. Thousands of years have passed, and yet today, whenever we see someone who is greatly outnumbered being beaten by a much smaller, insignificant force, we refer that to that to even today as a David over Goliath victory after thousands of years. You say, well, I don't talk very well. Well, neither could Moses. But yet he is known as one of the great leaders of men of all time. And it was not his speaking ability that God wanted to use so much. It was the power of his leadership ability. He was a great leader of people. And that's what made him a great man. You say, well, I'm just a little fella. Get pushed around all the time. Well, so was Paul. He was not a big person by stature. You say, well, I have poor health. I hardly can make it through the day. Well, Timothy had poor health too. God uses all kinds of people for all kinds of ministries, under all kinds of circumstances. You say, well, I don't have the gifts of the ministry. Sometimes I say the wrong thing, and sometimes I put my foot in my mouth. Well, so did Peter. He had an uncanny ability to say the wrong thing at the wrong time. And yet it was Peter who preached on Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. It was a great ministry that Peter had. And when Peter was crucified, he said to those who were crucifying him, crucify me upside down. I don't deserve to die in the way that Jesus Christ died. God uses little people. He sometimes uses people without much training, without much talent. Just as we saw in the Sunday school lesson this morning, then he gets the glory. And so it is in the Christmas story. God used all of these people for various parts that they played in the Christmas story. And all together, when you take the whole bunch of it and put it together, it is the fact that God uses small things. God uses small things. Not only does he use little people, but he uses little places. There were palaces of beauty that existed in Israel at the time. There were great estates which had the most plush furnishings. We would think, using our own human reasoning, that the Son of God would have been born in such a place as that. God passes it all by. And he chose a sheep's stall full of sheep manure for the Son of God to be born. He passed up all of these big, wealthy, powerful estates. Jesus could not even have a hotel room. The Last Supper was held in a borrowed room. For Pentecost, the 120 met in an upper room. The 5,000 were fed on a hillside. David was found in a field. The Son of God was buried in a borrowed grave. Paul wrote many of the epistles from jail. Moses saw the burning bush in a desert. Pilgrim's Progress was written in jail. D.L. Moody was discovered in a shoe store. Angels did not sing to the elite. They sang to humble shepherds. And the shepherd was at the very bottom of the economic ladder 2,000 years ago. You couldn't go any lower for pay than a shepherd. And it was just to these people that God spoke to. It was a small town. It was a small town named Bethlehem, where Jesus was born. Bethlehem has never numbered more than 5,000 people. And even today, 2,000 years later, it still has about 5,000 people. God uses little people. God uses little places, people and places the world counts as insignificant. And they are unimpressed by these little people and little places. And all of this leads us to another little place, a little hill, hardly a hill at all. Almost like a clump of rocks, to a place called Calvary, where all of human history revolves around that place. And so it is the Christmas story of Luke chapter 2. Little people, little places, and God uses them in such a mighty way. And how many of God's servants had very humble beginnings, and how God magnifies them through the years and uses them in such a powerful way. Well, I'm going to draw for you right now, and because the electricity was out, I will not be able to use a black light picture, but you'll see how I, this is a chance to show you how I draw a picture from scratch, and using, I'll have to do the background and the foreground in this picture. And I think I'd like to have all the children to come up and sit right here on the second row. I have the whole row open for you. All the children, all the boys and girls, come right up here. I want you to sit right up here in front. And so you can see the picture, okay? Boys and girls, come right up here and sit right in this second pew here. Okay? And I'll, yeah. And